Even though our primary sugya has been for the last couple of days, it will continue to be the sugyas of Lishma. Of course, the main sugya relates to Lishma by Sukkah, and then we got a little bit sidetracked with Lishma by Matzah. Then we're going to hopefully get a little bit more sidetracked later in the week with Lishma by Tzitzis. But somehow tucked in the middle of all these sugyas of Lishma is another sugya which doesn't do with Lishma, but it became part of our sugya because the Gemara raises it in terms of trying to figure out how the Pesukim are playing out. So the sugya began discussing Machlekes Bishan B'Sil about a Sukkah Yeshana, and the Gemara thought that the Machlekes revolved around the Pesukim in Parshas Emor, Chagasukah Shivas Yom LaHashem. The word LaHashem conjures up the images of making it Lishma. That's what Bishan B'Sil sounds like. And Basilo denies that. They don't deny the Pasuk. They just deny that application. They deny that Yalfusa from the Pasuk. And the Gemara says, no, not so simple. The Gemara said that Pasuk of Shivas Yom LaHashem is there to teach me something totally different. So once that phrase, LaHashem, is there to teach me something else, you can't use it again to teach me the din of Lishma. So obviously that's not the Mokra for Bishami. The Gemara goes on to show there's a different Mokra for Bishami. So at the end of the day, the Machlekes Bishan B'Sil did not revolve around this pasuk of LaHashem, because this pasuk is taken up, it's tafus, it's already taken up with something else. And what is that something else? So that's what the Gemara says on Testament Alpha. Rav Sheshes said in the name of Rabbi Akiva. So it's not that Rav Sheshes met Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the town of Sheshes in Amira. Rabbi Akiva lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Sheshes lived in Babel. They were about 200 years apart. So when it says Rav Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Akiva, that means he's quoting a tradition that was known in the name of Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva say? How do you know that the Atzei Sukkah, we just know that means wood of the Sukkah. We don't know whether it's wood of the Sukkah or the funnels, that's up for grabs. But how do you know that the Atzei Sukkah are off limits for the whole week of Sukkis? So Rabbi Akiva had Rosh, Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yom LaHashem. Then the Gemara quotes other Tanoim who learned from a similar kind of a pasuk, Shivas Yom LaHashem, Machag, etc., a whole drush over here. So at the end of the day, this pasuk in Parshas Emor is off limits, cannot be used for Lishma, because it's already taken up to teach me the din of Atzei Sukkah, Surin Kol Shiva. So Tosfos makes an observation in Asugi that seems pretty obvious. Tosfos says it is clear that this drasha that prohibits Atzei Sukkah, again, we don't know what Atzei Sukkah are exactly, and we're not quite sure what you're not doing with them. Otherwise, we have full clarity. We don't know what they are. We're not sure what you're not allowed to do. But otherwise, we understand what's going on. That Atis Isser Vatzei Sukkah is clearly an Isser Min HaTorah. Without our Gemara, maybe one would have thought this is only Nesmach Tabiyama. That's not what the Pasuk really means. What the Pasuk really means is Chag HaSukkos LaHashem means you should celebrate for the Ribbono Shel Olam Yomtov. Shivas Yom LaHashem, to teach me LaHashem is a Derosha, to Merames, to tell you Yafusa, that the Atzei Sukkah have a din of Hekdesh, that they're also, Bahanoah, that's a little bit far-fetched. So maybe that's only begedder in Asmach to be Alma, maybe it's only a Derabbanan. So from the Braisa itself, from the words of Rabbi Akiva themselves, you can't really tell. It could be that it's only a Derabbanan, but Taisa says from the Amoraim's presentation of this Braisa, from the fact that the Amoraim saw on this Braisa a contradiction to Bishamai, because Bishamai dares to use the Pasuk LaHashem to teach the Lishma. How could they do that? Hamavayalei Lichad Rabbi Akiva. So says Taizis, Hamavayalei Sfinda from the Mashmos HaSugya from the Amoraim, that this was a real Drasha Deraisa. If this Isser of Atzei Sukkah would not have been a Din Deraisa, then the Gemara never would have posed this as a problem in the view of Rabbi Bishamai. The Gemara should have said that Min HaTorah, the Pasuk LaHashem, is Taka teaching me Lishma, and the whole Rabbi Akiva's din about Tzitzis on Midir Rabbanan. So, but the fact that the Gemara didn't go down that route, it's clear as day that Tzivat Tzitzis deraisa. So Tzitzis says that it's a pretty solid raya. It's very, very hard to negate this raya. So the Pashta Dvarim is that the Itzer of Atzei Sukkah is a real din deraisa, derived from Sukkim, etc. It's a Pasuk in Chumash. It sounds like a no-brainer. I ain't Sukkah enough to have some enough. Nevertheless, Tosfos, at least Tosfos by us, concedes that there are other sugyas in Shas that also talk about Atzei Sukkah, and all of a sudden the Gemara is talking a different tune. The Gemara has a different presentation of what the problem of how serious a degree of Atzei Sukkah is. Comes the Gemara in the second of the Maimonides, and has a whole complicated sugya within the nitty-gritty details of Hilchos Muktzah. Again, we're not going to learn all the Muktzah right now, but suffice it to say that things that are not designated properly, and it's a very, very vague, I'm being specifically non-committal, things that are not designated properly are generally speaking off limits on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's a halacha that requires to some degree of a hachana in order to use things for Shabbos and Yom Tov. At what point do we say something is not designated properly? And at what point do we say you don't really need that designation? So that's a raging machlokes, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda and sugyas in Maseches Shabbos, sugyas in Maseches Beitza, on and on and on, countless sugyas and shas about Rabbi Shimon leisle mukta, Rabbi isle mukta, even Rabbi Yehuda isle mukta. What does that mean? Even Rabbi Shimon says leisle mukta. What does that mean? So in the middle of that whole long mukta tirade, comes Gemara Shabbos b'malaf b'malaf and asks, what would Rabbi Shimon have to say about b'amin eshlokas from Yechanan chitim shazorin b'karka v'deishetach tanagolus mal? If a person put grain into the ground, now if it's connects to the ground and it's rooted into the ground, then obviously you can't take it out on Shabbos and Yom. You have a much more serious problem than mukta. But you just placed it into the ground; it hasn't yet taken root. Or you take eggs and you put them under the chicken. So would Rabbi Shimon say that's mukta or not? Maybe one could argue that that's called dachi biyadayim, since the person actively, in a sense, undesignated them. By putting the eggs under the chicken, he's almost making a literal declaration, action declaration, that he's not interested in using these eggs on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Maybe one can argue that's like such a high level of mukta. Even Rabbi Shimon, who tends to be very lenient about mukta, would be makel on that. So he was pilpling back and forth and back and forth, different nuances of mukta that Rabbi Shimon does or does not accept. And in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara starts talking about Atei HaSukkah. At the end of that Mar Mokum, all of a sudden, the Gemara starts talking about a note on the Minasukh Biyantif, El Minasabach, Rishim and Matir, back and forth and back and forth, discuss the details of Hilchas Mukta. So comes Tyson and says, wait a second, stop, hold the phone. Mukta? Mukta? That's the reason why you can't use Atzeh Sukha, because of Mukta? Because it's Shabbos today, it's Yantif today, and the wood of the Sukkah, I wasn't planning on using it, it was set aside for something, and now the Sukkah fell down, and I want to use the wood. So says Tysus, what? That's the problem, Mukta? We have a much more serious, Mukta Derabbanan, never heard of him in the Torah. So what talking about Hilchos Mukta for? What happened to the Deraisa? That tells us presentation. Isn't there a problem with that rice on our hands? What if we drink a cup with Hilchos Mukta Derabbanan? So Tysus got into trouble that the Isra of Atzei Sukkah sounds like it's worse than it is as the Rabbanan based on Mukta. And Tysus dug up a sugya in, is it the Flamin of Beis, or is it? Or is it Shabbos? I'm sorry, Shabbos Menheim. So this is the Shabbos part. Okay, Menheim and Aleph and Masechah Shabbos. Then, just in case you think that that's the only Gemara that throws a curveball at us, there's another sugya in Masechah Beit and the Flamin of Beis that almost an identical sugya also pilpels with Hilchos Mukta. The Gemara starts pilpling about, does Mukta really apply? Does Mukta not apply? Maybe this includes Hilchos Mukta. Right there, a whole discussion about Hilchos Mukta. And what makes matters even more complicated is that in that very Gemara in Beit and the Flamin of Beis, in the discussions of the intricacies of Hilchos Mukta, what is the Gemara quote? Anyone to that Gemara? The Gemara quotes, what about Sukkah? It quotes Sukkah, but what else does it quote? Kishem Shechal Shem Shemayim. In the Sugya of Beit Zed L'Flamin of Beis, the Gemara quotes Amr of Sheishim Shem Rebekim, and now it's Sukkah Shesukon Shiva. And the Gemara somehow mixes and matches and doesn't wake up to the fact that these are two totally different reasons. They have nothing to do with each other. On the one hand, there's a real din deraisa here. Proof positive. You can't just say that the Jerusha, the Pasuk the Gemara is quoting, are just kidding. It's really just mukta. It's just an asmachti. I mean, you can't say that because it's muchach from Tesla and Alfim Sukkah. That whenever the Gemara quotes this Pasuk, the Gemara really means it's a deraisa. If it wouldn't have been a deraisa, it wouldn't have been used to refute Beis Shammai. So there's no question that when you see that phrase, Amar of Sheishas, Meshum Rebbe Akiva, Menayim Le'atzeh Sukkah Shasun Kol Shiva, you put on your deraisa hat. So you know that you're looking at the sugya through the eyes of deraisas. And in the same breath, the Gemara is talking about Hilchos Mukta, which is for sure only mid the Rabbanan. So Tosfos now has a compounded problem. On the one hand, we have stirahs between Gemaras in Sukkah Daf Tes and Gemaras in Shabbos Daf Mem Hei. And now we have an even more serious problem in the Gemara itself in Daf Beis and Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara is mixing and matching both reasons. So we're really, really, really in a pickle. Just in case you thought the sugya was simple, Tosfos in Sukkah only presents this dilemma. Tosfos in other places, in Masechet Shabbos, in Masechet Beitza, point out there's a whole other dimension of kasha in the sugya. because the Gemara in Maseches Beitza on the Flamin of Beis, when it invokes the principles of Mukta, it not only talks about Mukta in terms of the Atzei Sukkah, it also talks about what? About the Noi HaSukkah, the decorations. So I hung up some fruit in the Sukkah, I put in some nice pictures of Gedolim on the Sukkah. So you have all this Noi HaSukkah. So the Gemara also says, oh, Mukta, once it's set aside for a mitzvah, you can't use it anymore, and if you use it, it's a violation of Mukta. The Gemara is talking a whole story, Mukta, 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 Mukta. And then all of a sudden you open up a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara talks legamri in a different language. The Gemara says, by the way, if you think you're going to be able to take down the apple that you hung up on the schach and take a bite out of it on Sukkot, forget it. You can't do that. Why can't you do that? Why not? What's the problem? The Gemara says a new thing from left field. What's the new reason? No one saw the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Beis? Two words. It's a chabizah mitzvah. It's a chabizayin to the mitzvah. Disgrace to the mitzvah. Here you set aside an apple as noy mitzvah, a kelim and veil, to beautify your sukkah. And then you can take a bite of it and chalamoy. That's a lo yafeh. That's a degrading of mitzvah. It's a chabizah mitzvah. Don't say it. Says Tosfos. And the Gemara in Beitza says that the issue of not using the noy sukkah is the same reason as not using the atzeh sukkah, because it's some kind of a violation of hilchas muktzah. And then comes the Gemara Masechta Shabbos on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph and tells you another story called Bizei Mitzvah. We don't even know the Raisa there, but I'm not even sure what to do with that. It's a Bizei Mitzvah, Shabbos, Chav Beis Amud Aleph. It seems to be, and it's only certain reason. So between the Taisus in Sukkah, the Taisus in Beis, the Taisus in Shabbos, you come to the realization that we have a triple steer here. We have three different reasons which conjure up three totally different images. One is for sure D'Araisa, that's our sugya. One is for sure D'Rabbanan, that's the Mukta sugya. B'Zayin Mitzvah, we're not sure what to do with that exactly. We have three different reasons. We need three, and ask the same thing. At the end of the day, you can't use your sugya, you can't use your noy. Just pick a reason. You pick one reason, your favorite reason. But don't tell me three different reasons, and don't confuse this, don't mix me up and quote two reasons on the same topic, which are both, you don't need both of them, one of them is superfluous. So this is Tosa's presentation of the sugya. So before we understand what the answer to this question is, there are three different opinions, three different approaches in the Rishonim. Two of them appear in Tosa, one appears in Ramban. Three approaches in the Rishonim, how to make sense out of all these seemingly multiple unnecessary reasons. Let's just make sure we understand the reasons first, just a little bit. Let's analyze for a moment each reason independently before we understand why we do or don't need all of them. So the reason in our sugya seems the most straightforward, means the simplest one of all. It's a deraisa, don't ask me any cash. So it's not as simple as that sounds. We're going to have a lot to talk about that because we're not quite sure what the nature of this is deraisa is. It's a very, very strange thing. It's asabano, like hektesh, lashem. So we have our work cut out for us as the sugya develops to fine-tune what the parameters of this is deraisa are. But at least we call it deraisa. We call atzeh sukkah as an is deraisa, an independent isa like hektesh. When it comes to Mukta, so we understand a little bit about the concept of Mukta. We understand that there are certain things that are not set aside for regular use, and therefore they become problematic on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What is it about the Atzei HaSukkah that kind of sets it away from regular use? What is it about the Noi Sukkah that separates it from regular use? So the Gemara invoked the principle called a very unique kind of muktzah, a very almost a subcategory of muktzah, called huktzah mitzvasa, which the Gemara actually discusses, is that really exist in the worldview of Rabbi Shimon? So huktzah mitzvasa is the subcategory of muktzah that we're dealing with. It's something that since I'm using it for a mitzvah, therefore I'm probably not planning on using it for other things. Maybe I shouldn't be using it for other things, and that sets into motion the potential issue of muktzah. So it's interesting because that issue of Hutzel and Mitzvasa, the existence of it, is something which is a little bit of the Gel Lemaisa. Lemaisa and Yonah D'Yoma. It's hard 2 days before Hanukkah not to take advantage just to share with you one thing related to the Hutzel Mitzvasa. We are discussing Hutzel Mitzvasa, we have to understand a little bit better. So there is something in Hutzel Hanukkah that actually may teach us something about what the essence of Hutzel Mitzvasa is all about. There is a principle of Hutzel Mitzvasa that appears in Hutzel Hanukkah. Do we know where? Where does it appear in Chas Hanukkah? What about the Shemen? So if I have shemen that I used already and lit my menorah with, and now it went out already. It all went out. The flame went out. So now he just saw, great gevaldik. I was yaitzei near his Chanukah already. I was yaitzei. How do I know I was yaitzei? Even if it goes out after a minute, I'm yaitzei. Why is that? Because machlokes is the gemara. We paskin. What's the principle called? Kipsa ein zochel klot. It's machlokes amarayim. Beginning of the second part was Shabbos for the mitzvah of Neris Chanukah. So I have to light the menorah, and it's got to last for the shir. The shir is Ramam Ras Kichatzi Shah. So it has to last approximately half hour. So what if I lit the menorah and it went after 5 minutes? So one opinion of the gemara says I wasn't yaitzei. I have to relight it because that's not called a lahadlok kishir. And the other day, the gemara says no. Kipsa ein zochel klot. There's no need to relight the menorah as long as I had the amount of oil in there that could have lasted forever. If I just put in 2 minutes of oil, that's closer in the shear. But if I put in enough oil that could have lasted, even though the mice went out, so I'm still yaitzei in the mitzvah. The Rishonim had on, but medvar mamurim am yaitzei, that's only if I lit it in a place where it could have theoretically burned for a half hour. What if I put a lot of oil in, but I put it in a place where it's so windy and I knew it's never going to last more than a minute? So that's like not having enough oil. So that would be not acceptable. But I put it in a proper place. It's safe. It's comfortable. You have enough oil there to last for hours. And the mice, something happened. I just happened. It went out. So the machlek is in the ground. We pass in halacha that kipsa ein zochel. There's no need to relight it. So lechora, a person put in an hour and a half worth of oil. It goes out after 5 minutes. So he's got an hour and 25 minutes left of oil. So he said, okay, great. That is yaitzei the mitzvah. Now I'm having dinner now. And a little low on salad dressing. And what is the oil? It's only olive oil. What's the big deal? So I'll take the leftover oil and I'll pour it onto my salad and eat it. Shalom Yisrael. So what's wrong with that? Well, look, what's wrong with that? Why can't you do that? Chutz mitzvah. The only reason why you can't do chutz mitzvah. I don't know. I'm not sure that's a bezer mitzvah yet. It could be bezer mitzvah. It's only b'shas ma'aseh when the candles are going. It could be once the candles are out, the mitzvah's over. Possible. We're going to get to that. So, l'chora, the reason why I can't use this oil is because of huxla mitzvah. So, what can I use this oil for? If I can't use it for my salad dressing, what could I possibly use it for? Tomorrow night, right? Lama lo. So, I'll use it for tomorrow night. And then tomorrow night, the dochem lo goes out. You would think I would figure out a way to put my menorah in a way. But the eighth night, I lit all my candles, and they all went out, and I got a lot of oil. I got enough to make a whole salad. I can make French fries for the entire yeshiva. But what can I do? I can't. So now what do I do with this oil? So what would you think I would do with this oil? I can't use it anymore. So hopefully it's well. So the only thing I can do with it is save it for the next year. So the Rishonim write, you shouldn't do that. The quote from Medrash, you shouldn't do that. Why shouldn't you do that? Because there's a whole sugya in the end of the first pack of Maseches Pesachim. If you have oil that became tamei and you want to leave it around a little bit, whatever, we're leaving out the details of truma, kutzpah, nothing else. So there's always a concern of what? Chashid and what? The takola. You don't want to leave these kinds of things sitting around for a long period of time, because during the course of the year, the guy may forget. Let's say, come Purim time, and he'll forget that this is the Chanukah oil that's set aside for next year's Chanukah candles. So we're afraid that since that oil is mam shasa banot, so therefore, it's not a good idea. Chazal won't let him save it for next year. What do you want him to do? He can't save it for next year. He can't use it now. What's he supposed to do with it? Chanukah's over. What should he do? What should he do? It's Leis Breira. So, if you have a drum, as a kash, if you live in Chutz La'aretz, so how come we don't light a ninth night of Chanukah candles? It's fake of the yom. It's a kash from Avudrom. So there's a shayla in the Achronim, why he even asked the kasha. Chanukah is only the Rabbanan who says it's fake of the Rabbanan. There's a lot of lomdus and why the Avudrom even bothered to ask the kasha, but he asked the kasha. But his answer is that we don't. For whatever reason, we don't light a last night of a fake of the yom. So the guy's mom is in a pickle. It's eight nights are over. He can't light. Why did I quote this Avudrom? Because a couple of years ago, there was a halakha nearest Chanukah. My wife told me she was looking for her job. There was a halakha nearest Chanukah in a place that wasn't so observant. And they were having a Chanukah party. There was only a technical problem. The problem was that Chanukah was over already. It was the ninth night. It was Matzoy Chanukah already. It was after Zayis Chanukah. But, you know, the schedule was, they couldn't fit it in before, so why not? So they did it afterwards. They had a Chanukah party, Matzoy Chanukah. So somebody gets up to light the menorah. I can have a Chanukah party, lighting the menorah. So somebody gets up and belts out the brachas. Baruch atum. So Shai, am I allowed to answer Omri? It's such a bracha. No, it's a Namshe bracha levatala. So the only Libetz Chus was is that maybe they held like the Kasha of the Budrum. They held the ninth night of Chanukah. Maybe so. But we don't talk. That was a joke. It wasn't a joke. So get back to the story. So, what? Sveik Ediyoma, we make brachas. We always make brachas on Sveik Ediyoma. The only reason we don't on Shmini Atzeres, because it's Nebuchadnezzar's Stevie to the Kiddush of Shmini Atzeres. But otherwise we would have, even under Rabbanim, that was the premise of Avudram's Kaddish. Yeah, well, this is a joke. This is not for real. Fine. So the Medrash says that, the Medrash Tanchuma that says that, what do you have to do with this oil? So you got to get rid of this oil. Yeah, how do you get rid of it? You have to isla madura b'fin atzma. You have to make a madura. You have to light it up and make a bonfire and discard all the extra oil. Who here makes a bonfire with all the extra oil after Chanukah's over? How come you don't do that? Why do you have so much oil left over? Oh, you never make maduras. What do you think? Maduras only for Lag B'Omer. This is the only time the maduras are din. Lag B'Omer is not a din. He has a state in the Medrash. Osla madura b'fin atzma. So the reason why probably most people don't even bother doing this is because the Shulchan Aruch quotes that the medivah mamurim, that the oil is hooked to the mitzvasa, that's if the mitzvah wasn't finished yet. It means a person lit, he put in a half hour's worth of oil, and it only burned for 5 minutes. So the extra 25 minutes of oil was hooked to the mitzvasa. It was set aside for the mitzvah, and the mitzvah never was done with this oil. So that oil that the mitzvah was not done with, it was designated for the mitzvah, that's it. Of to be nana from that oil. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, what if a person put in 2 hours worth of oil, and the menorah burned for an hour and a half? An hour went out, there's a half hour left of oil. So Shulchan Aruch says, what's the chutzal mitzvasa? He says, that leftover oil is after the zman. So whatever, that was never part of the mitzvah anyway. So whatever was never really chutzal mitzvasa, there's no issur on. So, b'med the Ramamurim, the Medrash says that you have to be careful with the leftover oil. That went out with the half hour. If it went out after the half hour, there's no problem. So the zman is that this never happens for us, because usually our candles last for more than a half hour, and if by some reason they don't, usually people relight them anyway. So for us to have oil left over that didn't burn for a half hour is very, very unlikely. So for us, this whole din doesn't apply altogether.
You said before that Muktzah Mitzvasa is a subcategory of Muktzah. Muktzah generally only on the day. I mean,
So this kind of Huxel Mitzvah is even more common. Right. So that kind of Huxel Mitzvah is a different kind of a Huxel than regular Huxel. I said it's a subcategory of Huxel, but it has a little bit of a different guidelines.
If you, let's say, put an hour of oil in and then you only burn for 5 minutes, so would you have the 25 minutes worth of oil is going to be Huxel Mitzvah, or the whole...
How are you going to figure that? That would be a problem. So the Mishaburah quotes that Tzemach Reim didn't like this school. Tzemach Reim write that if you put in all the oil b'stam, so even though it burned for more than half an hour, you can't say that the oil that's left over was not nitfas l'mitzvasa. The whole oil was nitfas l'mitzvasa, and you would have to, it would be a problem. So the Shemur called Tzemach Reim, who would be machmir, that even for us, you would have to make a madura. I think that the oilim is knowing, like the first opinion, that we're not so nervous about this. Or one could argue that maybe the reason why most of us don't make maduras is because even if there's some oil left over, who's using that for the salad dressing, b'zman hazeh? We're just getting rid of it. So the guy takes it and wraps up the bag and throws it in the garbage. You shouldn't mamish pour down into a place that's mavuza, a place that's disgraceful. That's not nice to the mitzvah. So you take it, put it into a plastic bag and throw it into the garbage. So no one's going to use it for salad dressing anyway. So some of those are the reasons why, b'zman hazeh, most people don't make maduras. Anyone know who makes maduras? Anyone see a madura? No one ever saw a madura. In Teaneck, you never saw maduras. Who lives in Teaneck? Go to Yeshiva Gedol of Teaneck on the last day of Chanukah. That's in the daytime, whatever. I'm going to tell you Chanukah. They have a Madura. They have outside the Yeshiva, upstairs by the upstairs steps. There's a little like a barbecue grill or something. They mamash have a Madura and all the extra Chanukah oil was poured in. Okay, take a look. That's the only place in my life I've ever seen a Madura. Okay, good. But this din of the Medrash that appears in the Medrash, this is a continuation of our sugya. This is part of Huxel Mitzvah. So there's a comment in the Medrash that says, after it finishes telling me this story that you have to make madura to get all the extra oil because Huxel Mitzvasa, the Medrash has a startling statement. The Medrash says, you see from here, kama gedolim divrei chachamim. See how great the words of the rabbis are. That there's a din of Huxel Mitzvasa and you have to make a madura, but that teaches us that the rabbis are gevaldik. They could mamash pull off tricks that nobody else could do. Well, dia kama gedolim divrei chachamim. It's a pelvic Medrash. What's the Medrash talking about? So Rav Yosef Engel in a Sefer Asrin Deraisa says, the Medrash is trying to tell us how great the rabbis are that they instituted Neres Chanukah. So it should have said, we light Chanukah candles. Because there's a din of Hutzla Mitzvah, so that teaches us how great the rabbis are. So Rav Yosef Engel has a fascinating Lomdish Shepshan in this Medrash. Rav Yosef Engel says it touches on the whole din of Hutzla Mitzvah. Again, we're trying to understand Hutzla Mitzvah by Sukkah, so we're using Chanukah to teach us a little bit about Sukkah. So Rav Yosef Engel says that the notion of Hutzla Mitzvah is a very, very strange idea. Muktzla Mitzvah is mamash din in the Chetza. It means that the item that was designated, this Chetz that was designated for a mitzvah, that was began to do the mitzvah with, they were chal in the Chetza din. Hutzla Mitzvah is presupposing that this is a Chetza shel mitzvah. What would the din be if I'm doing a mitzvah, but I'm not only doing a mitzvah as a gavra? I'm using an item to help me fill my mitzvah segavra, but there's nothing that's toy-faced in the chefza per se. Would it be shaykh to speak about chutzah mitzvah? No. Chutzah mitzvah, by definition, listen to the words, chutzah the chayfetz of chutzah l'mitzvah sof. So it says washing the kevra. That the mitzvah, the item that you're using is chutzah l'mitzvah. Talk to me, Sivengel. I understand chutzah l'mitzvah by where? By hilchus where? By hilchus. Where's Hilchus Sukkah? I understand you can't use the Atzeh Sukkah because of Hukzla Mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Beitza, Maseches Shabbos. I understand Hukzla Mitzvah in when it comes to the Araisas because there are dinim that are teifes on the Chavtza. This becomes a Chavtza Shal Mitzvah. I love the Araisa. I understand this Chachas Mitzvah. Neiris Chanukah. Shemin for Neiris Chanukah for this of Engel. Half the Acharenim say that the Mitzvahs the Rabbanon are not what? Yisurim d'Rabbanan are not what? They're not dinim in the Chefs itself. Only the Rabbanan Shalom can change the nature of an object. Only the Rabbanan Shalom can create Yisurei Chefza. The Moshel, famous wife of Meshech Chochma, we spoke about this many times in the past, Meshech Chochma said that why is it that when it comes to something that's awesome in HaTorah, if a person eats Chazer by mistake, you have to be Chayze B'tshuva. You have to be Chayze B'tshuva, even if you did it by mistake. It wasn't your fault. But the Nesivus writes that if you violate a Nisad the Rabbanim Shalom, what did you talk about here? You must talk about it, right? I don't remember when, but somewhere back then. Oh, by the way, okay. So comes the Nesivus and says that if you violate a Nisad the Rabbanim B'Shegeg, there's no need to be Chayzi B'Tshuva. No din of Tshuva at all. Why not? What's the Svar? So the Meshech Chochem in his Parashat Chumash in Parashat Shoftim HaLos also says that Nesivus reflects the fundamental difference between Yisurim D'Oraisa and Yisurim D'Rabban. Yisurim D'Oraisa, the Rabbanu Shlom created certain negative spiritual properties in Chazer, in the Veilus and Trefus of Bas B'Cholof. If you ate Chazer B'Shegeg, you can't turn to Rabbanu Shlom and say, well, it didn't make an impact on me. That's like saying a guy swallows poison. It comes, they rush him to the emergency room. They're about to pump his stomach. And they said, Shaita, why'd you eat the poison? He said, it was a total mistake. I didn't mean to do it. Oh, good, Baksham, you didn't mean to be bomb pump your stomach. It was b'shaykeg. It's honest. So the poison is seeping into his body. He's going to die if they don't pump his stomach. So it had an impact, whether you meant to or not. Zokta Meshech Chochma, if you ate chazir, it had an impact on your neshama, whether you liked it or not, whether you did it or not, whether you knew about it or not. So now we have to give you the antidote. So what's the antidote to chait? It's tshuva. Tshuva is a pumping in the stomach. Tshuva is a mitar. Tshuva is a mechaper. Gets rid of the poison, gets rid of the spiritual impact in your neshama. But kum derabanan, the guy ate bishul acham, he had an ekuk degoy bishay. So what? Big deal. There's no poison. Yisurim derabanan are not poison. Yisurim derabanan are yisurei gavra. That the halacha is, you have to listen to the rabbis. That's the little sauce of the Torah wanted to give cover to the rabbanan. The rabbanan make a takana, not eat bishul acham. Don't eat bishul acham. Use a gavra, don't eat it. Abre is the cheft, says nishkin. That typhus on it, a shame is a cheft. A famous boy from Meshech Chochma. Comes to Yosef Engel and said, if that Shtickle Torah is right, he doesn't quote Meshech Chochma, if that Shtickle Torah is right, so then there shouldn't be a din of Hukzla Mitzvasa by Neiris Chanukah. Because if Neiris Chanukah, as a Dirabonon, is a din that doesn't speak to the Cheftza, just as Yisurim Dirabonon don't become Yisuri Cheftza, Mitzvahs Dirabonon don't become Mitzvahs or Cheftza either. Nothing holy and special is chal. There are no spiritual properties that are teifes in the shemen of the menorah. It's just that you as a gavra have a mitzvah hadlaka, but there's no such thing as a chefza for the Ner Chanukah, that hukzul mitzvah would be absurd. So Kum Demerishin says, from the fact that we know from Chazal Nitzazoy, we know there's a din of Huktzel Mitzvasa by Neiris Chanukah. You know what that teaches us? The Gevaldik Gevard about Yisurim Derabanan. What does it teach us? L'haydiya what? Kama what? What does Chazal mean when the Medrash says Kama G'daylim Divri Chachamim? That means not just the rabbis can make takonas. That we don't need a Medrash Ten Chumah to tell us you can make takonas. L'haydiya Kama G'daylim Divri Chachamim means that the Chum can change spiritual entities. They create a chevtza for Neiris Chanukah. They can change the spiritual qualities, characteristics of the world. They can create Yisuri chevtza. That's Tachar Gevaldik thing. Kama G'daylim Divri Chachamim. So the Meshech Chachma obviously didn't buy into this in Riyasa Vayin. Well, that's his pshat and this. That's his view in this Medrash Ten Chumah. So Chopar, in getting back to our story, so Huktzel Mitzvasa, we know that it applies to some degree by Atzei Sukkah. The Gemara does speak about it in the Sugyas of Atzei Sukkah. And we know it has something to do with the Chavtza, at least according to the Yosef Engel. But yet we're still back to our original question. We don't know why we need it. Because after all, we have something much more powerful. We have a deraisa of Chagasut of Hashem. What do you drain me a cup with dinim of Muktzah for? But at least we're marviach a little bit also. Okay. I don't know whether we spoke about this, but it wasn't 2 days before Chanukah, but it's a nice thing. We should know a little bit about how Huktzel Tzasa does play out in terms of Chanukah. But now we move to the third thing. So again, we did a little bit of work on the deraisas, very, very little. A little work on the Muktzah, very, very little. Bizi mitzvah. So if you notice, here I was very comfortable writing deraisa. Here I was much less comfortable when I wrote derabanan. Here it looks as hanging. Because I'm not even sure. Where does this principle come from? Forget about its application to Sukkah for a minute. Where does this principle come from? Mitzvahs, busy mitzvah, why not? Why can't it be the Baza mitzvah? What's wrong? It's only a chesh mitzvah. What's the big deal? It's not enough kedusha. I understand why I can't take a pair of tefillin and throw it down on the ground. That I understand. Because there's an issur in the Torah of Mechikas Hashem. You're not allowed to erase the Rabban Shalom's name. And Divrei Torah are like the shame of the Rabban Shalom. So the Isra Mechikas Hashem is like an Isra Bizyon. It's the ultimate Bizyon in the Shem Hashem. So even if I didn't mamash rip it, and I take the tool and throw it on the ground and step on it, I understand why that's a problem. I understand why that's like a quasi Isra Deraisa Mechikas Hashem. I got that. But mitzvahs? Why can't it be in the vase of the schach? The Shem Hashem's not in the schach. Why can't I take a lulav and throw it into the ground? Step on it, stamp on it, rip it into a million pieces. Why not? Why can't it be mevazeh dvarim shel mitzvah? What's the problem? V'chi kedusha yesh b'hem? Whose kasha was that? What? That was on in Maseches Shabbos, Nefchav Beizim and Alf. V'chi gder kedusha yesh b'hem? So what did the Gemara answer? V'chi dam kedusha yesh b'hem? It's like a Jewish question. Yes, the question, another question. V'chi dam kedusha yesh b'hem? What does that mean? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Pasuk says, as a mitzvah kisi adam. Anyone here been zoich be yetz kisi adam? Nobody ever yetz kisi adam ever. You gotta come to the right places. Okay, so I did it a few times. One time, once or twice, I did it in Tinek, like a Paris time. And one time I did kisi adam, right here in YU. Years ago, when Rabbi Rapp was learning Shechita, so he was shechting a couple of birds for us. So one of the birds that Shechter is bechavid me to do the mitzvah of kisi adam. We did kisi adam, then we did malicha. We kashed it in the sink in the dorm. And we bought a whole bucket, and we went to the store. We bought the kashering salt. It was gavaldik. We kashed the chicken, and it tasted terrible, mamish miserable. Why? Because we had absolutely no clue how much salt to put on it. So you know, we had learned the sugyas about the molcha yafa yafa. So we did yafa yafa, right? And we drowned the thing in salt. And we washed off the salt, and we had his grandmother cooked it up for us. It was horrible. It was like eating a bag of potato chips that looked like a chicken. Anyway, so Rabbi Sai, but what can you do? Okay, Rabbi Sai. So there's a mitzvah of kisi adam, and the Torah says, "How do you do kisi adam? V'shafaches damoy v'chisal be'afar." Translate that possibly. V'shafaches damoy v'chisal be'afar. He shall what? Spill its blood and cover it with dirt. What does that mean? B'shafach es damo. What do those words mean? How do you spill the blood of the chicken? Through what process? Shechita. Probably shechita, right? That's probably that's usually how the blood comes. Anyone ever seen the shechita? Okay, so what gets the blood out is the shechita. So that's probably what b'shafach es damo means. What does the Torah say b'shafach es damo? What is the Torah b'shachad also? So there's a three-way machloikis atanoiv about this topic in the beginning of the second part of the second school. So there was one Tana who came to an unbelievable conclusion. mind-boggling conclusion based on this pasuk. Why does the Torah say v'shafach? Doesn't say v'shachat. Anyone know why? Anyone in chulin? V'shvicha tola rachamana. You don't have to shech birds. There's no mitzvah shechita on birds. No mitzvah shechita. But where does the Torah give the pasuk shechita in the Torah? Where did the dinim of shechita appear in the Torah? In Parshas Chsav? In Parshas where? Well, besides Kabbalas, but where else? Parshas Re'eh, but it speaks about what's called Besar Taiva. The Torah says that if you want to eat meat, you're far away from Yishalayim. You're allowed to eat meat. And then the Torah says, by the way, when you eat meat, what do you have to do? Those are the three words. Those are the magic words. Says the Mikan. What do you mean v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha? You look chumash from beginning to end. It never says how to shecht. What do you mean v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha? What does the Gemara say? Besachas chulin mikan shenimtzu lemei shabena biapeh chashchita. All the din of shchita, the five of chashchita, how you shecht, where you shecht, all of the first two prachos besachas chulin were all nimtzu ish bepish and reish rabbeinu mikan shenimtzu lemei shabena chashchita biapeh. What is the pasuk talking about? V'zavachta what? What does it say? I don't see a word about Eifes in there. So one Tana says the second Rechachul, and you're right. You know why there's no word of Eifes? Because it doesn't exist. There's no mitzvah shechitas of Eifes in the Torah. We have Mishnayis and Mishnayis and Mishnayis. Allah Tanoim shechted Eifes. Comes one Tana and says, the Blazer Kapra says, it's all midirabbanan. Allah shechitas of Eifes is all midirabbanan. The whole empire business, the whole poultry, the whole chicken business is all midirabbanan. According to one Tana. And we don't pass like the Tana at all. The Tana is not even mentioned as the Yeshua Mishra Parach. We pass it like all the other Torah would say, no, Chalila v'Chalila. That Shechitas Eifes is midaraisa. So what's the Mokor? That's deraisa. The Pasuk doesn't say it. What's the Mokor? The Gemara is Machlek is not Torah with the Mokor. One Tana says, there's a Hekesh between Eifes and Behemoth. So Torah is Eifah Behemoth. One Tana says, it's Halacha Mashim Sina Shechitas Eifes. So it's unclear what the source of the Torah for Shechitas Eifes is, but we pass it and it exists. So therefore, be the star of belief. You thought, maybe don't be the star of belief. You thought, oh, wow, this is good. I don't have to buy OU chickens anymore. I can buy Purdue chickens. It's a third of the price. So sorry, Charlie. According to one Tana, midrabbanan, you have to still buy the OU. According to everybody else, where we pass the shulchan aruch din deraisa. If you eat trefa chickens, if you eat the non-shechta chickens, we pass in your overness of deraisa. Okay. Don't breathe the star of belief. Fine. So what does v'shafach has damo mean according to that Tana? It doesn't mean b'shvicha, it means shchita, shvicha, shchita, that's all the same thing. B'shafach, the purpose of this pasuk is not to teach b'yocha shchita naifas, the purpose of the pasuk is to get to the punchline of kisi adam. So for whatever reason, the Rabban Shalom b'chachmasa wrote the word b'shafach not to teach you any deep-seated halachic secret of that you don't need shchita for naifas, it's down for other reasons. But so whatever it means, b'shafach l'maisa refers to the shchita, that's how we pass, b'shafach refers to shchita. So comes the Torah and says, "V'shafach es damo v'chiso be'afar." There's a hekesh between the shvichas adam, i.e. the shchita, and the kisi adam. Which part of your body, which organ in your body do you use to shecht an animal with? Your hands. So the Torah is makish and say, "V'mesh shafach u'yichase." You should do kisi adam with your hands also. Why would I thought I could do kisi adam with another part of my body? What would be much easier to do kisi adam with? My foot, that's where the blood is, that's where the dirt is. So I shechted my chicken, the chicken's on the floor, the blood's on the floor, the dirt's on the floor. So you give a kick with some dirt and shine. That would be make so much easier, so much logistically easier. Here I gotta put down the knife, I gotta go find the chicken's jumping around, as we say, with a chicken what? Like a chicken without a head. Okay, that's exactly what's happening. Those have seen Shechita. So I gotta go find the blood, okay? I gotta rub in my hands. It'd be so much easier, just kick a little bit of dirt on. So the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to do that. Minatoy, you're not allowed to do that. Why not? What is wrong with just kicking some of the dirt? Stomach Zer Sakasim says, no, there's something wrong with it. You know what it is? It makes a lot of sense why there's this Dindarais, this Drash of Meshach Liyachase. Shalom Yehu, Mitzvah Bezuyah Salav. Either Dam is Kaddish, the office Kaddish, Fasfak Kedusha, Kisya Dam is a Mitzvah, not Teshvishi Kedusha. Zanfendor says the Gemara, you see from here that there's a principle in HaTorah, Shalom Yehu Mitzvah Bezuyah Salav. And therefore, the Gemara says, for the fellow who wants to take a bite out of the apple, out of his chach, that's a no-no on Sukkot. You know why? Because that would be a violation of mitzvah. If you put the apple in the mitzvah to enhance the mitzvah of Sukkot, then you go in there and take a bite of it, it's azabi ziyanis. And that's why you're not allowed. That's reason number three. So is it deraisa derabanan? It's a tricky one. Why? It's really a deraisa. And but the apple is not really the mitzvah deraisa. The mitzvah deraisa is really the schach. The apple is the hider deraisa, the hider of the sukkah. So I'm not 100% sure I'll call that a deraisa, but it's subsumed under the category of bizei mitzvah. Why is the sugya appearing in Shabbos Daf Chavez? Because it's right smack in the sugya of what? Of my Chanukah. So, Baruch Hashem, 2 days before Chanukah. So what's the application of bizei mitzvah to Neres Chanukah? The Gemara says, that's the reason why you're not allowed to do what? Also, the hearts of the Nehemos, connected to Ner Chanukah. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to count your Chanukah guilt by the Chanukah candles. But here, otherwise, why is the guy counting his money? Because he just got money. His grandparents just came and gave him a lot of money. So he's counting up all his coins. So the Gemara says, Oslo Hatzos, Mos Kedeg and Nechanika. Why? Shaloyu mitzvahs bezuyas alav. So the Gemara asks, Bechi Ner Kedushi Yeshbai, to which the Gemara responded, Bechi Dam Kedushi Yeshbai, Ela Shaloyu mitzvahs bezuyas alav. So the Gemara applies two out of these three principles. Lo and behold, we're learning Masechah Sukkah, now we have Dinu Yechus Chanukah. So the Medrash applies Huktzel Mitzvah to Neres Chanukah. The Gemara in Shabbos Chabez applies Bizei Mitzvah. So two out of the three considerations that limited usage of Schach and the funness and decorations, two of them find their expression in Yechus Chanukah as well. That's the only reason why you can't count your money by the Neres Chanukah. Just out Mitzvah's Bizei Yisalav. That's what the Gemara sounds like. That's what the Baal HaMor says. Baal HaMor says the Gemara meant exactly what it said. That is the reason, the only reason, no other reason why you can't count your money by the Neres Chanukah, because Shalom Mitzvah B'Zuyah Salav. And therefore the Baal HaMor concluded, what if I want to do something else by the light of the Neres Chanukah? The Chanukah candles are still burning. I want to use the light for something else. It's not such a bizoyah. It's not such an embarrassment, not such a disgrace. It's a disgrace to count your money by Neres Chanukah. What if I want to use the light for other things that are not disgraceful at all? For example, what? I want to learn Torah. That's a disgrace. I want to learn the sugyas of my Chanukah. I'm learning Daf Yomi. I'm being Mavis Sedra by the light of the Chanukah. What a beautiful, to make a whole Inya song, by the light of the Chanukah, as I'm sitting and learning, the Baal is beautiful. That's a bizonis. That's a hita mitzvah. The Baal Mo says, you're allowed to do it. You're right. Mutlachat chila. What are some other things I would want to do by the light of the Chanukah candles? That's another beautiful mitzvah. I want to eat my Shabbos meal. Beautiful. I need Shabbos. The Shabbos sings Miras Kavalik to you. Myridik. What could be wrong? So according to the Baal HaMor, if the Isser is only out Bizyonis, so then you have to look at each case and see, is this a Bizyon? Yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe no. So most of the Rishonim disagree with the Baal HaMor. We pass the Halacha like the Ramban, like the Ram, like most of the Rishonim, that this is only half the story. Bizei Mitzvah is one of the reasons, but there's more to the story than that. They put together from other sugyas in the Gemara, in Shabbos, and in Chanukah. There's a whole nother consideration of using the light of Chanukah while it's burning. What is that? Nothing to do with bizei mitzvah. What's the other reason? Hanei reis alalu kodesh heim ve'ein lanu rishus l'shtamash b'hem. Anyone say that ever? Mm-hmm. What does it mean? What do the words mean? We just said there's no kedusha to the ne'er. So we just proved there's no Kedusha. Yeah. Right, so we just disproved that song. So you don't say Aneris Halal? So some Rishonim say, you're right, Shmuel was borrowed the Kasha, Chineh Kedusha Yeshbai. And guess what? Everybody else said, yep, there is Kedusha. For us, Manishtana that Ner Kedusha Yeshbai, the offer has no Kedusha. Why is Ner Kedusha for? So comes the Ran, comes the Rishonim and say the Rabban, the Ran. Why is it that the Ne'er has Kedusha? Because why did Chazal institute Ne'er's Chanukah in the first place? As a Zayt, as a Pirs Menes, and to remember the Nes that took place involving the what? Involving the Menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. V'chi Menorah Kedusha Yeshba? You better believe it. Mikdash. The world was Kedush. So when Chazal instituted Neres Chanukah, they were misakin ke'ein, that lock of mikdash as the Ran, and that's taka the reason. Neres alalu kedushim. That's exactly what we sing every night of Chanukah. Haneres alalu kedushim. It didn't hektish, and therefore the ein lan rishus l'shtamash b'hem. That those words are almost afukin to Baal HaMor. Baal HaMor would never say that. I mean, he probably said it also, but he meant something different. That's exactly what this piyut. That's exactly what these words mean. The source for this is from a Masechah Seferim from the days of the Tanaim. Haneres alalu kedushim. These neighbors have kedusha to them because they're kein hektish, and therefore ain't lana rishus to shash from klal klal afilu to learn to be mavis edrabai. So Bizli Mitzvah is an important aspect of Neres Chanukah. According to Balamor, it's the whole story. According to Adam Hisham, it's half the story. It's part of the story. So again, so this was all on the side. We wanted to analyze a little bit each one of the three reasons, and we just lucked out time-wise for the year, so we were able to have a little bit of application to Neres Chanukah. But we spent 45 minutes, and we haven't even touched Tosfos' Kasha yet. And we mentioned the Kasha didn't get anywhere near the Teretz. At the end of the day, we have three dinim, two of them are superfluous. We don't know why we need all three to come to the same conclusion. Lamaisi can't use the sukkah. Lamaisi can't use the noin. Lamaisi, it's all off limits. Is it deraisa? Is it huksa mitzvasa? Is it mitzvizislav? What is the reason? What is the emissary reason? And which reasons seem to be unnecessary? So comes Taisus in Masechet Sukkah and quotes your reason. In Sukkah, they don't identify who was responsible for this answer. In other places, Taisus quotes the name of the Ri, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Talmud from Rabbeinu Tam, the nephew of Talmud from Rabbeinu Tam. Here, Taisus just quotes as V'yei Shleimer, as a Stam Taisus. V'yei Shleimer says Taisus, the test of an Aleph, and B'nai in the middle of the Taisus. V'yei Shleimer, first one learned now is the High. V'yei Shleimer, the High, the Osim, the Rai, Sayin, the Be'ayda Kayemes, Osim, Lito, Vimena, Eitzim. Avami Shenofla, the Butler, Mitzvah, Salo, Asir, Elam, the Rabbanim. Says Taisus, the Yisra, the Araisa, is very, very powerful, but very, very limited. It's only the Araisa, says Taisus, but Oda Kayemes. Makes a lot of sense. What's the Yisra, the Araisa? Chagasukah, now that be Nene Mewat? Me'atzeha? When is it called the Sukkah? When it's functioning as a Sukkah. If it was blown away by the wind, and now it's on the floor, and now the schach is in one corner, and the walls are around, the whole thing is a big, it's not, it's a sukkah's David Hanafalas, it's not standing anymore, it's Nishkin Sukkah. And therefore, the Yisra D'Oraisa falls by the wayside. So now the guy's got a gevaldik idea. Kol Zman that the sukkah was standing, this guy, he wanted to make a, he wanted to toast marshmallows. That's his real goal. You know, Cholomoyt, he's on Yontif. Well, he's not Shabbat, he toasts his marshmallows on Yontif. So he wants to toast marshmallows. The problem is he doesn't have enough firewood. So he's got a candle burning, but the marshmallow of a candle is not going to work too well. He needs firewood. So he's standing there, looking at his sukkah, and he's looking, how am I going to get firewood? Go up there, grab off some of the bamboo, and throw it into the fireplace. Gavaldik. I can't do that. That's an Isidir Ais. So what happens? A great thing happens. A wind comes, Ruch's Oro comes, and blows the sukkah down. Skavaldik. Now the sukkah's on the floor. Oy sukkah. It's not listed to the rice anymore. So I can go take the bamboo and put it into the fire. So Minatayr is, if you'd ask Meshe Rabbeinu at that point, Meshe Rabbeinu, I want to top the marshmallow. Can I take that wood now? The answer is absolutely. It's not a sukkah anymore. This is Nishra B'Yakiva's Din of Chachas. That's not sukkah. So that's where the Gemara kicks in and says, Oba Midirabbanon? It's still a problem. What's the problem in the Rabbanon? The Chokzal Mitzvah Asai. It was set aside for the mitzvah. A minute ago it was functioning as a mitzvah. You want to use something that was set aside for mitzvah purposes? That's out of the question. Sister says, that's not shaykh. That's hulsa mitzvah, sir. And it's off limits and you can't use it anymore.
You seem to say, I think we say on Sukkah that all these prohibitions you talked about disappear after Yom
Kippur. Correct. So you're back to your nearest Hanukkah problem.
Yeah.
You're still with your nearest Hanukkah problem. So the same way I push you off in nearest Hanukkah, I'm going to push you off in Sukkot. Okay? It's going to be the same push off. We're getting there. Hopefully, before Hanukkah, maybe. Or at least before next week. So comes Taisus and says, the secret to the answer of the Gemara, the dilemma that we had, is that the real Issad their eyes is on the other KMS. And therefore, what creates an Issa after the Sukkot is no longer standing is an Issa of Mukhtar. Now, Taisus only answers half the question, two-thirds of the question. They don't explain to you, well, where does Bizui Mitzvah fit into the picture? Why do you need that? So if you look carefully with the Gemara, the reason for Bizui Mitzvah was never said on what? What was it never said on? On what? What? On the Atzei Sukkah themselves. The Tata, we didn't mention Bizui Mitzvah, the Atzei Sukkah. Bizui Mitzvah was said on the Noi. That's the Sugya in Chabez, the nearest Chanukah. The Gemara compares it to Noi Sukkah. So comes Taisus here and leaves us hanging, and they tell you at the very end, they say, by the way, look at what we wrote in Masechet Shabbos. And you'll notice that he actually took Tosis' advice, and you look up the Tosis. Tosis then poses the second half of the question, namely, so I understand the din deraisa, and I understand the need for derabanan, but I'm still not quite sure, why do I need almost two dinim derabanan vis-a-vis the noi? Why do I need the din derabanan of mukta, which the Gemara says beferish applies to the noi, and then in the same breath, the Gemara says I need a din of bizim mitzvah concerning the noi. Why the necessity for both? So there's almost a second kasha. Like the main kasha that Tosis asked, that's relevant in our sugya. When is the deraisa in noiga? When not? Tosis already answered. We already said go home. We're done with that kasha. And then Tosis says, by the way, if you already learned the sugya, you might as well just finish up the job and realize that there are two different dinim derabanan to asa noi. Why do you need both? So Tosis and Shabbos fills you in on that also. What's the answer Tosis and Shabbos says? What's with Tosis? What doesn't Tosis and Shabbos say? Oh, so comes Tosis and says, Huktza l'mitzvasa. Mukta means you can't use something. And then usually mukta means if you can't use it, so you can't be metaltal it. Those two go hand in hand. If something can't be used, then it becomes like eitzim v'yavon. It becomes like junk. And then it's not usable. It's not movable in Shabbos and Yom Tov either. Says Taisus, the principle of huktza is a Shabbos and Yom Tov tikkudin. It has nothing to do with what? Then do chol morim. So if you're going to tell me that the only reason why you can't use the decorations, you can't take a bite out of the sukkah, is only out of mitzvah, so that wouldn't apply in Chol HaMoed. That whole concept doesn't apply outside of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Doesn't bode well for Hilchos Chanukah for us, but let's keep touch this frame of reference. Chol mitzvah, so is only a Shabbos. It's Kedush Sayyim Din. Shabbos has nothing to do. No such thing as Muktzah in Chol HaMoed. So now I understand why we need the reason of Bizei Mitzvah. Oh, Bizei Mitzvah makes sense. For Chol HaMoed. So now what Taisus turns the kasha around on its head and says to Shabbos, what do they ask? Once we have the what? The all-encompassing reason of Bizei Mitzvah, which goes above the reason of Huktzah Mitzvah. So now we turn the kasha and say what? So what do we need? So says Taisus, because Bizei Mitzvah doesn't always apply. Bizei Mitzvah makes sense. You can't be Mevazeh the Sukkah when? Bishas when? When you're being yates in the midst of sukkah in there. When the sukkah is standing and it's royal akach to be a sukkah to fulfill the mitzvah, thus is bizei mitzvah. Take a bite out of it. Here your apple is doing a gewaltig hit the mitzvah. It's doing just a beautiful enhancing the mitzvah. You take a bite out of it. How is the sukkah fell down or the apple fell down. The apple's not doing anything anyway. The apple's on the floor already. Fell onto the table, so it's not being mahad to the sukkah anyway. So wait a second. Where's the bizei mitzvah? You're right, there is no bizei mitzvah. So why can't I eat that apple now? What's the answer? Why can't I eat that apple? For one reason alone. Because Huktzah Mitzvasa. So Huktzah Mitzvasa applies, but only in Shabbos and Yom Tov. Bizei mitzvah applies just when it's functioning as a mitzvah. So therefore the two reasons complement one another. Where one fails, the other compensates, and one, the other one fails, the other one compensates. So if you put two and two together from this Tosfos, what should come out? If you read the Tosfos in Shabbos Kipshuta, what should come out? What if you have what? What if your apple fell in Chol HaMoed? You mean the decorations are down. The sukkah's down, the decorations are down. I want to eat the apple on Chol HaMoed, and it's not functioning anymore as a Hiddur Mitzvah. Either because the sukkah fell or the apple fell. Could that be also? Tell me why it's also. Why is it also? There's no Huktzah because it's not Shabbos in Yom. There's no bizoyin because the apple fell down already. So what's the answer? It's mutter. So the Maharshah on that Tosfos says, yeah, it's mutter. Now if you read the Tosfos in Shabbos, it's not clear what the Tosfos said or not. There's a little bit of an ambiguity in the Lashon HaTosfos. But the Maharshah on the spot says, yeah, no chinami. That's tach, going to be mutter. Striking, it's going to be mutter. But there's no reason to answer it. Based, what are you going to answer it? Based on what? Based on who? Based on where? Everything's mutter. The proven answer. So Tosfos finally solved for us this dilemma of why you need three reasons. The primary reason deraisa only applies by the KMS. The reasons derabanan can sometimes apply even when the deraisa doesn't apply. Why you need two different derabanans for the same noisuka or for to cover you on this reason applies, the muktzah reason only applies in Shabbos and Yom Tov. This reason of bizei mitzvah only applies kisheh omedes, whatever that means, the apple, the sukkah. So the two reasons necessary to complement one another. And Rechanami, the absence of both, Taka, there's no issue. But again, on the level of their eyes, because we're not really learning that they're a bona part of the sugya. On the level of their eyes, the punchline of our sugya, according to the Ri, is this. The issue of their eyes of Rav Sheish, from Rav Akiva, was only Oda Kayemis. And again, it makes a lot of sense, because it's only when it's Oda Kayemis that's called the sukkah. I call the sukkah. How could it be an issue of their eyes? So notwithstanding this pshat of Tosfos, the sheet is Ari, Tosfos, both here and other places, quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the uncle of the Ri, who had a different mahalach in the sugya altogether, but a totally different take on when the Yisrael Raisa does or does not apply. Hopefully, tomorrow we're going to relearn the whole sugya, revamp the entire sugya through the eyes of Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Thank you.